A bipartisan Privacy and Civil Liberties Oversight Board has unanimously adopted a report that endorses some of the National Security Agency's internet surveillance programs. Those programs provoked worldwide controversy when they were revealed last year by news organizations after leaks from former NSA contractor and whistleblower Edward Snowden. The board found that the NSA's targeted collection of internet data within the U.S. passes constitutional muster and employs reasonable safeguards designed to protect the rights of Americans. Pacifica's Elizabeth Pearl reports.
A bipartisan privacy board unanimously endorsed some of the National Security Agency, or NSA's, internet surveillance program. The Privacy Board upheld the NSA's right to target communications data of foreigners living abroad. U.S. intelligence officials and members of Congress agree that this is responsible for disrupting a series of terrorist plots and achieving other insights. But privacy advocates question the effectiveness of the program and say it violates the rights of Americans and foreigners.
It could be that the Privacy and Civil Liberties Oversight Board doesn't think that this kind of focus on foreigners raises the same civil liberties and privacy concerns as the domestic metadata program.
Liza Guaitin is a co-director of the Liberty and National Security Program at the Brennan Center for Justice at NYU.
The problem with this is that, you know, first of all, foreigners do have privacy rights and under international human rights law, and the board recognized this fact in its report. But even beyond that, I mean, these communications are communications between foreigners and Americans. So there's no way to get the foreigner side of the communications and not the American side.
In endorsing the NSA surveillance program, the board leaves something called the backdoor search loophole open. The NSA can only target the communications of foreigners. But once it has collected that data, it can search it with terms that provide access to the communications of U.S. citizens. It's also called about collection. The Republican-controlled House of Congress recently voted to end backdoor searches, but the board has endorsed them. Sharon Bradford Franklin is executive director of the Privacy and Civil Liberties Oversight Board, whose members are appointed by President Obama.
In many ways, about collection is technologically required under the way the program operates, and that if it were eliminated, this would eliminate a fair amount of the capability of NSA to collect even emails that are to or from a target.
The report stands in contrast to the board's last action in January, when it argued against the NSA's collection of domestic calling records. Bradford Franklin.
They're very different situations where in the Section 702 program you had a statute that was publicly debated and much more clearly covered the scope of this program.
The board concluded that the NSA's collection of internet data passes constitutional muster and employs reasonable safeguards to protect Americans. They did, however, make several recommendations to improve safeguards. For example, the board recommends analysts search the data with the names or emails of Americans only if the search is based on a statement of facts. The facts must show that the search is reasonably likely to return foreign intelligence information. In Berkeley, I'm Elizabeth Prohl for Pacifica Radio, KPFA.
Berkeley voters will have a chance to decide whether to tax sugary beverages. The city council last night unanimously voted to place a penny per ounce tax on distributors of sodas and other sugary drinks. Carla West has more.
Berkeley City Council chambers were packed Tuesday night with people holding signs saying, Berkeley versus Big Soda, and Protect Our Children. City Council member Max Anderson said he expected a multi-million dollar campaign against the tax by the beverage industry, but predicted supporters will prevail.
The use of cartoon characters and superheroes and other kinds of mechanisms to attract young users of sweetened beverages parallels what the cigarette industry has done over the years, what the alcoholic beverage industries have done over the years, in a flagrant disregard for the public health of the community in the pursuit of more profits. Even though millions of dollars will be spent in opposition to this, the will of this citizenry to protect its children and their future is stronger than any dollar amount that they can come up with.
Supporters of the measure said the proceeds would fund child health and nutrition programs in Berkeley. Dr. Vicki Alexander is the co-chair of the Healthy Child Coalition, which sponsored the ballot proposal.
One in three kids are projected to have diabetes into the future. If that child is black, African American, that goes to one in two. That is, every other person sitting in this room potentially could have diabetes 50 years from now or less. We know that we can change that trend. When we pass this measure in November, Berkeley will be the first in the country where such a measure has been passed. We are very excited to see that day happen.
There were a few opponents of the plan who urged council members to reject the tax measure. Ted Mundorf is president and CEO of Landmark Theaters.
We operate two businesses in your community to the tune of about $4 million a year in income. Unfortunately, our outcome is not as good as the income we would like. I fail to see why, if we could solve obesity and diabetes with a 1 cent tax, I'd say bring it on, let's do 2 cents. But the reality is that this cent is going into the general fund and is not earmarked to do anything except to hurt business.
San Francisco will also vote in November on whether to tax sugary drinks. The San Francisco tax on distributors would amount to 2 cents per ounce. In 2012, voters in Richmond and the Southern California city of El Monte turned down proposed soda taxes after the beverage industry made international news when it spent $4 million to defeat the measures. In Berkeley, I'm Carla West, Pacifica Radio, KPFA.
A raging wildfire in rural Northern California that spread over 5 square miles and forced the evacuation of 200 homes in Napa County continues to grow. By early evening, the Butts Fire in remote Pope Valley grew to 3,800 acres, up from 3,200. CAL FIRE spokesman Chris Christofferson says it's 30% contained.
Firefighters are still working very hard to contain the fire in the extreme conditions with the high heat and the low humidities that we've had today. There's still potential of erratic winds in the next few days that we're trying to contend with. Their firefighters are continuing to defend the homes that are up in the area.
Over 700 firefighters are attacking the blaze from both land and air. Christofferson says more units are on the way.
There's still a lot of the fire that's not contained. And until we get those resources in there to put that direct line on the fire's edge, then we won't increase the containment of it. We won't have that comfort yet because there's so much of an area between where the fire is and where the containment lines are. It makes it difficult.
The blaze broke out about noon yesterday on the northern end of Pope Valley along Butts Canyon Road. The fire quickly burned across 500 acres and destroyed several structures. The scene of the fire is about 10 miles northeast of the town of Calistoga and across a mountain range from the Napa Valley. 5 buildings and 2 homes have been destroyed by the fire. Hundreds more are threatened so far. There are about 30 residents at evacuation center located at Middletown High School. Christofferson says Lake Berryessa residents are pulling together.
A lot of the residents in that area were prepared for a wildfire through the resources that are available from readyforwildfire.com. And they've worked together not only during the evacuation, but they've worked together with helping their neighbors evacuate for some of those that have had difficulty. So what we've heard out of that has been very good. And it's just a good example of neighbors helping each other when it comes to an emergency like this and helping everyone get out safe.
There's still no word on how the fire started. No injuries have been reported. Cloudy tomorrow morning in the San Francisco Bay Area, then becoming sunny, highs in the 50s to the upper 60s around the bay, into the mid-80s and lower 90s in the East Bay interior valleys. Sunny tomorrow in the central San Joaquin Valley with highs from 95 to 103 degrees. And in the Los Angeles area tomorrow, sunny with a high of 83. And that's it for the news from Pacifica tonight for this Wednesday, July 2nd. Thanks for joining us. With Gabriella Castellan, I'm Mark Miracle. Good evening.
Nia, Imani, Kujajakali.
Transitions on Traditions, a soul sonic rhapsody of words, sound, and power, where yesterday meets today and reaches towards tomorrow. I'm Greg Bridges, your host every Monday night from 8 to 10. Join me as we explore all that comes under the umbrella called jazz. From Lester Young to Lester Bowie, from Coleman Hawkins to Ornette Coleman, from Langston Hughes to Nikki Giovanni and beyond, Transitions on Traditions, Mondays 8 to 10 p.m. on listener-sponsored radio, KPFA.